Hello, and thanks for finding My Cape York Life, a podcast about the people who live on and care for Cape York. I'm Lyndall Scoble from Cape York Natural Resource Management. My Cape York Life shares the stories of the resilient people who live and work in one of the world's most remote, diverse and stunning locations.
As soon as the horses turned up, that's when the trouble started, because the bulls could actually see something to charge. For a while there was a complete confusion of dust and helicopter and horses and bulls all mixed up in the middle. At the end we got it down to a fairly fine art.
The animals and rivers is our life, our livelihood, and even the bush out here. This is our supermarket, our hardware store, All our ingredients and everything from out here got taught down from knowledge from the old people, passing it down.
I can't begin to imagine the connection that traditional owners have with country, but I certainly get a feeling as I hit that area. Something akin to it, I think. Worries fall away and feel lighter and different. And I love working to protect this amazing place because it deserves it.
If you live on the Cape, maybe you've visited or have a dream to one day roll out your swag here, My Cape York Life is for you. You can stream us at landmanager.capeyorknrm.com.au or download us on your favourite podcast app. My Cape York Life comes to you from Cape York Natural Resource Management with the support of the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. This time, we're in central Cape York at Artemis Station, a cattle property that's been in the Shepherd family for around 100 years. Tom and Sue Shepherd run cattle on the 125,000-hectare station, where they're also protecting the endangered golden-shouldered parrot that only nests in the region. Sue came to the Cape in the 1970s. Tom has been here all of his life. Together, Tom and Sue tell a remarkable story of adventure and achievement, raising cattle, children, and caring for country.
Hello. I'm Tom Shepherd from Artemis. It's a pretty warm day, but it's overcast. We've been getting a bit of rain. We're doing well for rain this year, actually. It came in early, middle of October, and we had a bit of green feed by the end of October, so it's been, pretty green ever since, and feel the rain coming in again now. It's pretty muggy and hot, and clouds are coming in a bit today, looking better today again.
So, Sue, whereabouts is Artemis, and how far away from it are we from, whereabouts are we positioned on the Cape here?
Artemis was a part of Musgrave. Musgrave's on the Peninsula Development Road. We're 30 k's roughly south from Musgrave, and only about a K off the Peninsula Development Road. That's probably a couple of hours or hour and a half from Laura now that the road's starting to get bitumened, and probably a couple of hours from Cowan. So it's roughly in the middle, going up to Weeper or the top.
So we're almost in the middle of Cape York.
Yeah. On the Great Dividing Range, it's running right past. We've got eastern waters and western waters.
Ah, so that's makes it a pretty special place here.
Yeah, our team has got the Great Dividing Range running right through. I just tell people we're halfway between Laura and Cowan on the Peninsula Development Road, or near enough to it, isn't it? Yeah.
And what are the rivers? So you've got east and west, so you've got a couple of rivers that would run through or be close by, or a couple of creeks. What are the major creeks here?
The Moorhead probably is a major one, in Saltwater Creek at Musgrave, and the Moorhead is on the other side. And on the western side, the Coleman and the Crosby. The Crosby will run into the Mitchell, so we've even got a bit of the Mitchell catchment as well. So it's a fair way from the Mitchell. It just shows how big an area the Mitchell River is.
And what do you do here at Artemis?
Mostly cattle. It's not a bad breeding place, but steers are good if you can send them somewhere. And it's a pretty good old breeding place, but it's hot, it's dry every year and wet every year. got to try and get rid of your steers somewhere, but it's okay now when the cattle price are good, but when they were pretty bad, we end up having to get aside tippers and put on the council and main roads to get a bit of extra money and that to survive. Otherwise, all okay. Mainly we're cattle.
Because that's a pretty common story here on the Cape, isn't it? The that you need a often need a second income to keep you going.
Yeah. Before we had the truck, Tom used to go out cutting sleepers for the Mossman Sugar Mill, doing fencing or driving a truck for someone. So it was always something else to just top us up to keep us going. But it was a very good lifestyle and we all love it.
And how big is Artemis?
Oh, well, I better talk in hectares, I suppose. 125,000 hectares, which is roughly 483 square miles.
Pretty big piece of land to look after.
Oh, yeah, probably. We're getting it down to finer. You know, things are a lot better now. And, you know, with trap paddocks and all that, it makes it a lot easier for your mustering and all that. Well, the cattle come to us now, we don't have to go to them. Only pick them up out of the traps to clean them up and that. Mm. It's a lot better the way it, now. We're a lot better off now.
So, Tom, you were born here on the Cape, is that right?
Well, actually, I was born in Cooktown. Mum did get to Cooktown and brought me home, I suppose, straight away. And, yeah, I've been here for turned 70 the other day, so... 70 years. Actually, I was telling someone today, I tell them I moved 15 miles south in my life. My home was at Musgrave and our team is 15 miles south of Musgrave. So in my lifetime, I more or less moved 15 miles south.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but was the team as part of a bigger property from your family?
Yeah, I can tell you all a bit more about it. Musgrave... Well, Dad and Bill Costello bought Violet Vale together. And then Dad bought the post office at Musgrave sort of thing, a PMG building and 3 square mile freehold there. And then he got Artemis, which is like 483 square miles. Then he bought Mary Valley, which is 140 square mile. Then he died when I was pretty young. And Mum sort of took over now, and my older brother Freddie, and I had another brother Morris and Barry, sister Thelma. Anyhow, we split. When Mum wanted to get out and go to Mareeba and live, Barry and I took Artemis, my other brother, and then Fred and Thelma had Lily Vale. Morris, smaller place, Mary Valley, so he ended up with Mary Valley. And we all had Musgrave, the freehold then, but there's cafes and everything there now. And Thelma and her husband bought us all out, so she owned, her and her husband Jimmy had Musgrave then. Then Barry wanted to buy Yarradon, or we buying Yarradon, they offered him Yarradon. So we bought Barry out, so that left Sue and I here then. And and I think, Freddie bought Thelma out, Lily Vale. So we all gradually got split up in here. And Freddie got killed and Morris sold out and shifted to town. And Glenn was Freddie's son still at Lily Vale, but it was sold a couple of years ago. I bought Barry out and then Barry ended up buying Yarradon and sold Yarradon and he went to Mareeba and Libby, passed away too, and yeah, we're still here, just holding in, yeah, we're holding in.
Yeah.
And we never ever got in trouble, we just make do with what we had, we just survived the best we could and that's all we could do. And get a bit of work here and there sometime when the Tommy and Trevor, my sons, got bigger, well, they always helped, and Trevor's actually still here somewhere, and he's out running licks, putting lick out or something. Mm. Oh, we've had a lot of bloody help to stay here too, don't worry, in our time. A lot of people helped us, you know. Yeah. And then that's when we end up decide, well, normally you work something out, how to get out of things and how to do it, but then Trevor said, well, what about a truck, a side tipper? Well, we ended up buying it, and it done well for the 8 or 9 years we've had it for. Mm. So that's been a big help, and then we didn't get a lot of work this year, but cattle price were good, you know, the last couple of years. So,
What was it like as a kid growing up here?
Oh.
You must have some stories.
Yeah. I ate plenty of guano and flying fox in my time, don't worry.
Tell us about that.
Well, I used to, in them days, I nearly lived with the Aboriginals here. They always tribes around, you know, Sellers Mob, and that was the ones here at Musgrave. And, we'd be always out hunting and catching something and cooking it. And, Clara, the old dark lady, was my second mum sort of thing. Help mum thing, look after me. And, she probably spoilt me just as much or more than anybody. And we used to go and get guanas and flying foxes and that and cook them up, and they'd cook them, and we'd lived on them things too. And one yarn, old Clara's old husband, old Bob Sellers, I think about it now and again, and the flying foxes come in their camp, you know, and old Bob had his spear, he'd go down spearing, and then he'd growl, and one day, what's the matter, what's wrong, Bob? I've been killing him, and he'd been fly away again. But he meant he speared the thing, but it got off the spear and flew away again. He'd been killing him and flew away again. we had a good time with him, you know.
Yep.
Hunting and stuff with them. I have eaten a lot of bush stuff. Mainly flying fox and guanas, I suppose. But they tell me we can't eat flying fox, mate, now something might get sick, eh? I don't know.
But
I haven't eaten any for a long time in here.
Yams and tar and all that stuff.
Oh, clear every, and then it'd be down the river. I'd go down the river digging yams and carol. Carol's are different. You have to cook it and smash it up and wash it. And it's a big yam it's a yam like that.
Yeah.
But you had to cook that one. All yams you had to cook too. Yams, a long one, but they were good just cooking the cold or cup of murray or whatever you want to do with them. And you'd cook your old carol, that's wet time, and towards the end of the wet, they'd all come in the rivers and that.
Tom, a few people listening mightn't know what a cup murray is. Do you want to tell them what it is?
Oh, yeah, I still probably do it myself a little bit. Just more or less cover you, make a fire with your coal, when the coals come, put your meat or whatever in and put your bark over it, and if you want a bit of smoky taste, put a few bushes on top and sort of cover it over. Just keep the, but it'll keep, eh? I've done it a bit. We used to go burning grass, Sue and I, and that, and I'd take a leg bone or anything, down and cover it up, and I'd come back. We'd come back to that place if we knew we were coming back in 2 or 3 days, and you'd still have good hot meat sort of thing, keep it and that,
So you're never without a feed up here?
Oh, no, we've never been hungry, that's the main thing.
I guess that's part of it when you're living somewhere like here and you've grown up here all your life, so you know the country pretty well, and you got to spend time with the Aboriginal people when you were young, and you would have learned all that bush tucker as well.
I learned a lot of that. So it was good, well worth it. I mean, you wouldn't, if you got lost or something, you wouldn't bloody starve in the bush, that's for sure. The old ones are still that mob, I get along with that mob, the ones that are around here, they're really good, and we still get on, the younger ones, they're still all friends and that, Actually, Cecil, one of the blokes used to work here, his old Clara's son, his daughter's buried down the back here.
Is that right?
Yeah. She told her sister, our team is my home, you bury me there. And there was a bit of a fight because she should be over a bit further at Glengarn or something. No. I'm Martima. I want to be buried there. Yeah. She got cremated and Rosie brought the ashes down, dug a hole there and buried her here. She's down the grave just standing in the lot.
Yeah,
that's where she wanted to be buried. She wanted to be at home.
Yep.
So they still call it home too, sort of thing. That's the old mob, you know.
And so what's it like running cattle on a place like this?
It's good, as I said earlier, good breeding place. And, yeah, it's not easy. Don't worry us too much now, Bear. But we work, it took a bloody long time to work out how to, you know, and we're still not sure what if we're doing the right thing at times. Don't worry about that. I would like to come here. I wouldn't like to come from south somewhere and come here and start, you know. Mm. I don't think I'd last too long.
Why's that?
Oh, it's just so much difference. I've known people that came and seen prices down south and see what they got, but these cattle are that far behind, you know, and growing. It's slow, very slow growing country. Since we had these, we got about, could be 60 spear traps now, just a couple of K around, paddocks, a couple of K around, wooden spears in and out. And they just go in and out all year for their lick or water or whatever. And then when we need them, we just shut the outlet and then they go and pick them up, bring them home and process them. It makes it a lot easier and quicker.
So how is that different to how you used to muster?
Ah, we were on horse them days and I was tracking cattle here and tracking there. Just say, from here to Musgrave, to muster from Musgrave to here probably took us 14, 15 days maybe.
Yeah, and
I can do it in a day and a half now.
Wow.
You know, that's the difference.
Yeah,
and probably get more cattle, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd spend 3 days just over at 11 Mile, probably 4 days at 5 Mile, and round Musgrave is another 4 or 5 days, you know. Just time, and I just save so much now. And now we've changed to motorbikes, and I weren't sure first, but I think it's a good idea. Once you got these traps, the cattle's still a bit rogue. If you never had the traps, they'd hear that bike and move off. They're not stupid, but it's all working. This is working good in here and there. And I think we're on the right track, and people used to tell me, you know, them old fellas when I was young, I used to think bullshit and old buggers, but now with the change, you know, the stories I tell now, they think the same about me, bullshit and old buggers. But I've probably seen so many changes, from, you know, pack horse, and we'd just go for days out in the camp, you know, wet swags and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible it was. Someone said the good old days. No way in the world they were good old days. I'd never be able to go back to them.
Yeah, hard days.
Oh, they were hard, eh? A lot harder. And we'd go for about 6 weeks, but rain and wet, blowflies blowing your beef, blowflies blowing your swag, and maggots sitting in your swag, and not good. Eh? That's probably why my old back and that stuff now. All that cold and wet. And,
yeah.
Oh, this is a lot easier, but I don't know if we're doing any better for what the amount we're putting out now compared to them days. You just pack your old horse up, grab your bit of tucker, your bread and beef and a bit of old curry and rice and tea and sugar and away you'd go, sort of thing, you know, and a bit of old dried fruit or vegetables or something and away you'd go and... so it wasn't a lot of cost, although the packs were fairly expensive and that, I suppose. But you'd just go out for days and weeks and come home with your cattle and or bread when you're out in the camp or any, bring your bullocks home. And
what about in terms of the number of people, like how many people used to go out on those big trips before when you mustered?
It wasn't many, like maybe five of us or something, yeah. not much different than that, but it's a time now. We still probably use four or five, but, you know, just to bring the cattle home and dry, you know, clean up and that. But what I'm saying, only a day and a half, 2 days compared to 15 or 16 days, you know.
Big change, yeah.
And you can always get some of them days, everyone was ringers, rode horses, and but now you flat out find too many that'll get on a horse, and but you can always find someone handy enough to jump on a bike and give you in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And can you use choppers in this country?
We went to that at one stage. Yeah, I don't think it's good enough in this country. Mm. Well, I shouldn't probably say this, but I just say for something a bit of a figure, we must have more head, you know. I picked up 300 head with a chopper. I said, well, that's not right. There's a lot more. That's out bush, no fences, no nothing. Yeah. I went down a week later, we bang-tailed and needled everything, and then went down a week later, I see another 100 long-tailed, so we were still on horse then too. So what we done then, put salt and molasses out all the way down, and we picked up another 300 long-tailed. And I said, we didn't get them all these cattle. There's still more. So that means the chopper is probably getting 40%. So we can't afford to pay someone to get 40% of your cattle.
Yeah.
So that's when we started making these trap paddocks. And mighty still a odd few that don't go in, but not too bloody many, though.
Yeah.
You know, we cleaned it up, the place. The first trap we done, James with us, my nephew, James Gordon, he used to must a fair bit with us, and oh, there, you know, and we knew there was a bull and a bullock at this area that we'd been getting away all the time. Then we put, that's the first trap we made. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this, we got that bullock. And get a bit, oh, we got that bull. Then, oh, another one. We end up with, I don't know how many bullocks and how many bulls that we never knew about, you know.
Right. Yeah,
so, and every trap we built, we've made money.
Yeah.
On that first muster, we'd get enough to pay for the trap and more.
Yep.
Yeah, they're well, and so we worked out there with the way to go then, we reckon.
Yeah.
They're well and truly paying.
Yeah. And what about once you bring the cattle in, getting them out to market, how does that work for you?
Oh, yeah, bring them in and clean them up here, mostly here. And, we're doing something a bit different now too. And we just send them to Mareeba or somewhere. Then we tried Hewn and Richmond area for fattening the steers and that, but then good for a while, and then every time you get caught, they'd get a drought or something, you know. So then live export out of Weeper went pretty good, and then we send a few to feedlot, and that is, and some just to Mareeba still. That's how we get rid of them.
Yeah. And how is the road, is that PDR, the Peninsula Development Road, changed a bit over the time you've been here?
Oh, Christ, yeah. I need two-wheel track to Laura. Actually, when I first started driving the truck, or we always had a truck at Musgrave and that, and I think that bitumen came, I don't know, might have been a couple of k's, 3k out of Mareeba, or it was all dirt all the way, you know, to here. And all sand patches, and you know, you like to get bogged in the road. And
so, did you truck in those days? Would you have trucked cattle out, or was that so you rode them?
That was still droving. Yeah. Fred, my brother, older brother, and Barry, they used to do the droving.
Okay.
Take it one or two trips to Mareeba a year. I never went droving to Mareeba.
Took them a while though, didn't it?
About 5 weeks, I think, to Mareeba. Yeah. I've been as far as Lakeland Down and trucked from Lakeland Down to Queera Meatworks was open them days.
Mm.
We used to sell the bullocks to Queera and that, yeah.
And what about now? Now this road, as it's getting better and better.
Oh, a lot easier and quicker now. We're a few hours and then Mareeba, eh? Or actually, we are sending a few and tomorrow. And they'll spell in Mareeba tomorrow night and go down this bar mount, probably 12, 13 hours from Mareeba to bar mount on Sunday. Yeah. But they're pretty good. It's sort of expensive, like you're looking at $4 something per day. But the last lot we sent was, they average to 2.4 kilos a day, I think, which is pretty good, you know.
Mm.
60, 70 days, they're 150 kilos, you know, yeah. they put on.
So, yeah.
And they go from, say, a $2 a kilo beast to probably a $3.50 or $4. You know, I mean, they double the... Well, so far.
Yeah.
Don't know how long this will last either.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
For a while, eh?
Yeah. Mm. And, but, oh, I suppose if that don't work, well... See how it goes in here. That's another thing we're trying at the moment.
Tom and Sue Shepherd at Artemis Station on Central Cape York. And we'll hear more from Tom and Sue next time on My Cape York Life. I'm Lyndall Scoble from Cape York Natural Resource Management, the makers of the My Cape York Life podcast. My Cape York Life is supported by the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. You can find previous episodes on your favourite podcast app or Google Cape York Land Manager. And you can find Cape York NRM on Facebook and Twitter. I'll see you next time on My Cape York Life. I tell you my little home is Cape York.